Let's continue reading verses 16 through 28 of Genesis 45. Now, in the second half of the chapter, the brothers of Joseph return to Canaan and announce to Jacob that Joseph is still alive. Genesis 45, beginning at verse 16. Now, the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Once again, a few background notes. When Pharaoh heard that Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt, he was pleased. And in view of 5 more years of famine yet to come, he invited the whole extended family of Jacob to come and live in Egypt. As far as the record goes, Pharaoh knew nothing about Joseph's betrayal by his brothers. Joseph graciously concealed all that from the public. That matter was between Joseph and his brothers alone. You know, that's the way God deals with us. Aren't you glad that when God forgives us, he doesn't publicize our sins? You know, I think the judgment seat of Christ for believers will be like that too. A private affair. 2 Corinthians 5:10 states that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but there is no indication that it is public. Now, it will be publicly obvious, you know, how faithful we've been because of the rewards and the associated glory, etc. But still, the review of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ will be between us and the Lord. Verse 21 says that Joseph gave them carts. These carts or wagons would be like covered wagons. In fact, models of this type of ancient wagon have been found in Egypt. It's these wagons or carts that finally convinced Jacob that Joseph is indeed alive, as we see there in verse 27. One more background note here. In verse 22, we read about changes of garments being given to the brothers. Now, today, that doesn't seem like a big gift. But in those days, you see, to have more than one outfit was very special. So this was a sizable gift, especially for Benjamin, 5 changes of garments. All right, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Genesis 45. And doctrinal point number 1 is the gospel is more than the forgiveness of sins. The gospel is more than the forgiveness of sins. As you know, the word gospel means good news. And the brothers of Joseph certainly heard and responded to the good news here. The good news of Joseph, if you will. The gospel of Joseph. Well, again, we see a beautiful parallel here between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. The gospel of Joseph here is an illustration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice that the good news of Joseph here is more than just forgiveness. I mean, for Joseph to have forgiven his brothers for what they had done to him, that would have been grace enough. But there's so much more. Grace abounding here. Now, I want you to notice several ways in which the good news is more than just forgiveness. Look back there at verse 15. Moreover, Joseph kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that, his brothers talked with him. Here we see reconciliation and fellowship. In the same way, when we respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, there's more than just forgiveness of our sins. There's reconciliation. There's fellowship. Remember the story of the prodigal son? When the lost son returned, the father not only forgave him, he was restored to the place of sonship. It was not just, okay, I forgive you, don't do it again. You can go out and live with the servants, live in the barn, something like that. No, he was welcomed back as a son with all the rights and privileges of sonship. And there was feasting, reconciliation, and fellowship. Now notice how Joseph provided for his brothers and gave them gifts. You see the spiritual illustration? This is what the Lord does for us. He does more than just forgive us for our sins. He provides for us and gives us gifts, material and spiritual. Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then notice how Joseph prepared a new home for his family. The best of the land, verses 18 and 20. It reminds us of the place that the Lord is preparing for us. John 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The gospel is more than the forgiveness of sins. The gospel of Joseph is certainly an illustration of not only the way the Lord Jesus will deal with the nation of Israel in the future, it's an illustration of the way the Lord Jesus deals with us in grace. The gospel is more than the forgiveness of sins. Now, doctrinal or teaching point number two. The gospel is more than wishful thinking. The gospel is more than wishful thinking. When the brothers returned home and gave Jacob the good news, Jacob did not believe them at first. Verse 26, once again. And they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. Isn't it interesting that Jacob doesn't believe here? But he was so quick to believe the bad news back in Genesis 37 when the brothers brought the tunic stained with the blood. And yet here, when you have the good news, he doesn't believe. But you see now, when the brothers told their father all the words of Joseph, verse 27, notice all the words of Joseph? That would have included the words of verses 4 and 5 of this chapter. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Jacob may have suspected it before, but now he knows for sure that the brothers had betrayed Joseph. But now note the end of verses 27 and 28. When Jacob saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. When Jacob saw the carts, here was positive evidence that the brothers were not making up this story. Joseph was really alive. This good news was more than just wishful thinking. It was the truth. And Jacob believes. No wonder his new name Israel is used at this point. Now, do you see the lesson? The basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus is alive and exalted today. And this good news is more than wishful thinking. It's true. Jesus is alive. And guess what? There's plenty of evidence available. Shall we say wagon loads or cart loads of evidence available to back up this truth that Jesus is alive. Just as Joseph provided evidence for doubting Jacob, and just as the Lord Jesus provided evidence for doubting Thomas, so the Lord has provided evidence for doubters today. Now, some of you I know have listened to the tapes I've put out on Christian evidences, right? There's not only plenty of evidence for the existence of God, there's sufficient evidence for the resurrection of Christ. Take the empty tomb, for example. No one denies the evidence of the empty tomb. Down through 2,000 years of history, no one who has investigated the evidence, and this includes all the scholars and skeptics, has ever denied the evidence of the empty tomb. Now, they've tried to explain it away in a lot of different ways. The stolen body theory, the swoon theory, the wrong tomb theory. Many feeble attempts to explain away the fact of the empty tomb, filled with flaws in logic. There's only one explanation that fits all the evidence. There was a resurrection, just like the Bible reports. Jesus is alive. The gospel is more than wishful thinking. Practical application. Practical application number one. Don't quarrel along the way. Don't quarrel along the way. As Joseph sent his brothers off to Canaan, his parting request was, do not become troubled or do not quarrel along the way. You see, Joseph knew that even though his brothers were forgiven men, they just might start to rehash the whole betrayal incident and start to blame one another, point the finger at one another, and quarrel. So Joseph said, don't quarrel along the way. Do you see the application? The Lord Jesus says the same to us. Don't quarrel along the way. You know any Christians who need to hear this advice? We all do. Unfortunately, some Christians have destroyed one another because they quarreled along the way. Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. That's another way of saying, don't quarrel along the way. Practical application number two. Let's never get too set in our ways. Let's never get too set in our ways. Now, this lesson is particularly for our senior citizens here today, but it's good for all of us. How old do you think Jacob was when he had to pick up and move to Egypt? He's 130 years old. Now, even though they did live longer in that day, it still was old. Now, Jacob lived for 17 more years in Egypt, and he died at 147. Now, do you think Jacob wanted to move down to Egypt? Well, he certainly wanted to see Joseph, but he didn't want to move at 130 years old, away from the land that God had given to Abraham. He'd rather have Joseph come back home. But there was famine. And God had plans for forming the nation down there in Egypt. Let's never get too set in our ways. It's not easy to move and make changes, especially when you get older. But it may be part of God's plan and purpose. It certainly was for Jacob. It may be so in your life and mine as well. You can be sure that for any changes that the Lord is going to bring in, if that is part of God's plans and program for our lives, He'll give us the strength to do it. But having said that now, let's never get too set in our ways.